Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Decatur Dish. I'm your host, Decaturish editor and publisher Dan Wisenhunt. We have a special guest today, Clarkston Mayor Beverly Burks. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you for joining us. Love the green suit. That's a great looking suit right there. Perfect for any day of the week, St. Patrick's Day or otherwise. Mayor Burks and I have known Mayor Burks. How long have we known each other? We've known each other for several years now.
Almost 9 years, I think.
Yeah,
now. Yeah.
Because you ran for mayor in
2017. I was on city council.
That's right.
Back in 2016. So yeah.
So this is the Decatur Dish show. We tape here at Atlanta News First Plus every Tuesday at 12:30. We have guests. Sometimes we talk about what's going on our website, Decaturish.com. But I really want to talk about Clarkston, because Clarkston's a city I feel very passionately about as a community that we cover. It's got so much potential as a city, but like any other city, you know, it's got its share of challenges. So I want to kind of start on that theme. When you started off as a council member, so why did you run? What were the challenges that you were looking to address when you ran for mayor of Clarkston a few years ago?
Well, they're still there. We're looking at affordable housing. That's one big issue. But we're also looking in terms of equity in our community. As you know, Clarkston is one of the most diverse cities per square mile. And with our unique population, making sure that they have a chance to grow and thrive in our community. Looking at economic development, all of those things are critical, not only for our residents, but enhancing the city. And so I saw all of those as opportunities for us to grow our city, make our city stronger. If you know, Clarkston was 7,000 when we did the census in 2010, and now we've doubled our population. So now we're 14,537, give or take one or two people. But with that, we've moved from a small city to a medium city. And so as we move forward and looking at what we can do, I'm grateful to be able to be mayor and push our city forward in that direction.
You've always been a very forward-looking person as long as I've known you. What, up until this point, do you think is the greatest accomplishment you've had as mayor so far?
Well, right now what we're doing is a lot of grants. I came from a grant background, and so making sure that we leverage other people's money versus putting the burden on our city to make sure that we move our city forward. I'm very grateful. We just won the Safe Streets for All, and that was over $1 million for us to look at how we can improve our transportation, our traffic along Indian Creek. We also just won a $400,000 grant so we could look at police and public safety. And so how can we do those things to improve the quality of our city? That has been very important for me. Doing everything in terms of moving our city forward. One of the things that we're getting ready to you'll hear about is we work with the DeKalb Housing Authority, and so they're going to put money into our housing trust fund in terms of almost $90,000 a year to make sure that we can leverage that money to help our residents.
I'm glad you brought up policing, because that's actually going to be the next thing that we talk about on our list. If you've been following Clarkston in the last couple of years, you will know that there has been some turmoil, drama surrounding staffing levels at the Clarkston Police Department. We're not going to go into that chapter and verse, but I do want to ask, where are we right now with staffing in the Clarkston Police Department?
So staffing-wise, we have a total of 17 officers, both from a detective as well as on the street. We have three positions that we have available, and we are actively recruiting for those. Additionally, we are working with the Georgia Chiefs Association to fill in that assistant chief position. And right now that board is getting ready to review 7 candidates that we have. And so we're looking forward to potentially having that resolved in the next couple of months.
What's your authorized force? You've got 17 now out of how many?
It's about 21 that we have in terms of the force that we would like to have for our staffing. And so we're doing pretty good. The chief is working with that in terms of making sure we have enough coverage.
And Chief Hudson had announced her intention to retire. I don't know if that was just a a long-term announcement? Is she has she set a date for that?
She hasn't set a date. You know,
we're not trying to push her out the door.
We're not pushing
out
the door.
I love working with Chief Hudson too, but she did announce her retirement a while ago.
Right.
So I didn't know if that was an immediate thing or that was just something she was just, hey, heads up, I'm not going to be here to deal with this, but she hasn't given you a date.
She hasn't given us a date, but thankfully she has brought that up so that as we're looking at our staffing, we can make sure in terms of the right transition, we can keep that in mind.
So what are you doing to keep the officers that you have? So you've got 17 out of an authorized force of 21.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, everybody can go back and read these articles, but there was a level of discontent. There was mm-hmm. a lot of reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing on a staff retention basis to keep the officers that you have now and keep them happy?
Well, one of the things as a council, we increased their starting salary, and we looked at other ways in terms of, you know, our starting salary for police officers, $60,000. So if mm-hmm. you're looking for a position, come on to Clarkston. We also are making sure that we provide additional funding for them in terms of their overall salary, but we're also making sure we look at them as humans. You know, being a police officer, we appreciate that hard work that they do in terms of being community policing. And that's one of the great things that I can say about our police department. We have people who see the importance of being our guardians for our residents. And so making sure that they have access to, for example, mental health and other things to make sure that they know that they can do the job. But if they need support and assistance, not only do they have the financial piece, but they also have in terms of services as well.
So knowing that the next big hire in the police department is going to be the police chief, probably when Chief Hudson retires, what is the city's strategy going to be for finding that person to replace Chief Hudson?
Well, as we're doing now with the assistant chief, we're looking at using at the Georgia Chiefs Association to help us in terms of filtering and looking at potential candidates. And so leveraging a board that has the background and strengths to help us with that is key to us being able to find the right person for the position.
So there was a lot of turmoil around the police department, a lot of turmoil around the former city manager. We don't need to get into all that here, but I did have a question from a reader about that, mm-hmm. and the question was, what lessons did you learn from that experience, and how will you apply that going forward?
One thing is to have thick skin, you know, follow the processes, making sure that you understand. You have to be, as mayor, I have to be consistent and steady in terms of what I have to do. You know, you're going to have people on this side asking things on that side, but I always have to make sure in terms of my compass, my northern compass, that I stay focused on what's best for the city. Looking at processes and procedures to make sure that we do things to safeguard whatever we have to do from a policy perspective, that's important too. And so we're reviewing our documents, our charter, our ordinances to make sure that they're sound for our residents so that anything that happens, we're prepared for it. And so making sure in terms of being more proactive in what we do, that's very key as well.
Let's switch gears. Let's talk about economic development, and we're going to spend a good chunk of time on this topic. Let's start with the Downtown Development Authority. What is the current status of that entity right now?
Well, actually, we just had a meeting yesterday. So we have our Downtown Development Authority meeting now. So we're going through the process of we have our bylaws, we've elected officers, and we're going through all the steps to move our Downtown Development Authority forward.
So Clarkston had a Downtown mm-hmm. Development Authority.
Mm-hmm.
It was dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
And you've incorporated a new one. So why did Clarkston dissolve its previous Downtown Development Authority?
Well, the current Downtown Development Authority has a basic structure, which is, you know, the basic one that when every city in Georgia has. And so we went from where we had about, the original one had about 3 council members on there, right? And so, and it encompassed the entire city of Clarkston. And so the one that we have now is streamlined. It only has one representative, that's me, from the council or the mayor. And then we have more composition of our residents and businesses. And so making sure that those people who live and breathe what we're talking about, economic development, they are the ones who are members of that Downtown Development Authority.
So this is a topic I'm particularly passionate about of late. So I've been doing a lot of health stuff. I've been doing a lot of walking. I walk on that path trail through Clarkston a lot, and it's real neat to see the city on foot. Clarkston is a city that has a lot of components to be a really great and vibrant downtown. Mm-hmm. I think you and I could both agree that maybe those components haven't all come together just yet. Like mm-hmm. the ingredients are there,
right.
The pieces are there,
right.
But it just hasn't quite come together. What would you say is Clarkston's current economic development plan?
So we have a wonderful economic development director in terms of how are we looking at our comprehensive plan. We're engaging and trying to make sure that we bring businesses into our city. Many of our businesses that you see are downtown. They're owned by people who've been owning those businesses or the land for decades, right? And so our push is to encourage them to see the possibilities, just like our motto, right? And so one of the things that, if you notice, we have an apartment complex that's being built downtown. And we see that apartment complex as kind of that kickoff to encourage other businesses not only to improve what they have around them, but potentially develop more. And so we have where it used to be Thrift Town, it's M-Mart. That owner is working to make improvements to that business. And so we see, you know, having those components where businesses are looking forward to making economic improvements so it improves the entire city.
What would you think are the economic development opportunities right now? And I'll tell you something that mm-hmm. always catches my eye a little bit. When I'm on the path trail, mm-hmm. the only adjacent business to that right now, I believe, is with the development that the church is doing mm-hmm. over there. I'll walk past it. You know, I'll walk on Sundays with my son, and, you yes. know, I'll wave at everybody, you know, going in and out of church. And I see it's like an incubator, I guess. It's like a retail. There's a lot of empty space there, but it could be a thing. And when I think about path trails, I think about stuff like the Beltline.
Right.
Where you go and you walk and maybe you get a cup of coffee, or if it's the evening, maybe you get a beer or what have you, whatever you're into.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one I can tell you that
right.
I see.
Right.
What are some economic development opportunities that you see?
Well, I'll take that point, especially where you say with the Stone Mountain Path. You know, we are a walking community, and so if you notice, you can take the path. You can go to Refuge Coffee. You can go to Brockett Pub. There are different points where you can step off of the path. But the other piece that we're doing in terms of that economic driver is we have our Greenway feasibility study. Right. And so as a walking community, whether we wanted to or not, some of our residents have created these paths already. And so what we're doing is looking at how can we incorporate the paths that exist, where we need to add, where we can connect our parks and other things together so that that can be the driver as well. How can we improve that connection not only to the Stone Mountain Path, but within our city? And so we're actually meeting with Tucker. We're going to look at the South Fort Conservatory. So how we all can come together to improve the pathways. Having the paths, as you mentioned, with the Beltline, makes it where we can do those other type of economic development activities as well.
It's nice to hear that you're meeting with Tucker in a non-litigious way, in a collaborative way. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good for both of y'all, because Tucker's about to make a major infrastructure investment in pedestrian safety as well.
Exactly.
Let's talk real quick, affordable housing. What is the amount of affordable housing in Clarkston right now, and where is it?
Well, as you may know, Clarkston is the most densely populated city in the state of Georgia. We have 7,000 people per square mile. So what we have is we have over 4,000 units of apartments, multifamily dwellings. We have probably about 1,000 or so of housing. But what we have to do is look at how are we utilizing our space. You know, is that balance? Where do we need to do in terms of adding additional homes? How can we do a balance in terms of we have ADUs? That's one thing that we encourage people to do. We have multiple ways where you can have duplexes, quadplexes, triplexes in the city. So we are working with, we made some zoning changes, as you know, before, to make sure that we have that balance throughout the city where we can provide those things in terms of affordable housing. We're working with DeKalb Housing Authority, and one of the things that I've talked to them about is considering doing some type of workforce housing in Clarkston. You know, that is something that, in terms of cottages, that would be wonderful because we have market rate cottages on one side and potentially having where we can do workforce housing or cottages for our residents as well.
Here's kind of a philosophical question.
Sure.
Because I ask planners this all the time. How do you define affordable housing?
You know, it's based on your community.
It's the $80,000 question.
I wish it was $80,000.
Right.
But it is looking at what your community can afford, right? So it's unique thing about Clarkston. We're so far from Decatur and Avondale Estates and Tucker. And so as the prices are getting pretty high in those areas, people are kind of coming into our area in terms of accessibility to 285 and other things. And so what we have to do is, you know, work on that piece of it. I'm very grateful. I'm a member of the Atlanta Regional Commission's housing cohort that they're having now. And those are the things that we're talking about from elected officials. What can we do to address those issues that you're talking about in terms of affordable housing?
Well, if you could sum up Clarkston's affordable housing policy right now, what would you say the current affordable housing policy in Clarkston is?
We're working on it. Because we
you and everybody else.
We and everybody else. And that's one of the issues from an Atlanta perspective that we collectively have to look at. We have the issue of some places you may say we're full, right? But then if we're saying we're full, how are we trying to make it where we can make more people come? And how are we making sure that we balance it out? Because as we increase the number of people, we also use more of the services. And so we have to make sure in terms of water and sewage and everything else, we do that balance of providing the homes that our residents need. Our residents, who many are new Americans, would love the opportunity to go from an apartment into a house. But we have to make sure we provide that balance of providing those types of products and having that stock available for them.
Mayor, before we wrap up, you had a meeting that we were texting about this before the show. You had a meeting or something you wanted people to know about. What is it?
Yes. So one of the things that I'm doing as mayor is called Tots Town Hall. And so for children under the age of 6, what we're doing every quarter, we have the next one coming up April 15th in the council chambers, is to educate our young people about government, about democracy, about all those different components so that we can start that next generation to have an appreciation for what we do in terms of their vote counting. You know, making sure that they understand that they are a part of the process, too. And so we do things like show them how to vote, and we show them the importance of what it means to be a council member or a mayor. And so I encourage if you have children, you know, if they're under the age of 6, to have them to come. The next one's April 15th. Then we have one in July 15th, and then we have one October 14th. And so it's every Monday. It's quarterly on Mondays from 10 to 12, and it's in the council chambers so that we can start that next generation to love their city and understand what democracy means.
That sounds adorable, and I probably need to get Dean Hess out to take some photos of that. Mayor Burks, thank you so much. People who were watching this, probably, you know, Mayor Burks and I, we've had a lot of back and forth over the last couple of years. There have been good times. There have been not so good times when things were going on. But Mayor Burks has always handled it with class and dignity, and we respect and appreciate that. So thank you so much. Hope you'll join us again.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you for the opportunity.
So this is the Decatur Dish Show. I'm your host, editor, and publisher, Dan Wisenhunt. If you want to learn more about Decaturish, visit Decaturish.com. That's our main website. If you want to learn more about the upcoming elections, DecaturishVotes.com is where we're going to have all the information about that. If you want to see episodes of this show, please go and download the Atlanta News First Plus app. It's a great way to support us, and it's a great way to support our media partners at Atlanta News First who help us do this show every week. We're going to see everybody again next week right here at 12:30. Have a good week, everyone.